everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend, producer, engineer Ray Allen on the other side of the glass. And I don't know if Ray realizes it, but if it goes over 105 today, even hits 105, we will be on, I think, the third longest streak of days over 105 since we've been keeping records. So maybe we won't hit that. Let's hope so. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of June, a very full hour as usual. We'll begin talking with health, talking about health with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Then up at 12:30, actually about 12:35, we will welcome in the new president of the University of Arizona. This will be my first opportunity to speak with Dr. Robert Robbins. He'll be with me in studio. But right now, on to the live line and Dr. Victoria Mazes, who is the Buckmaster Show contributor on health and appears on this program once a month. She's the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. She is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, VictoriaMazesMD.com, or follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am hot. How are you?
I am hot, too. And I'm just wondering what your secret is, or if you have one, other than being in air conditioning, how do you keep yourself hydrated and cool?
Well, I think that distinction, I am fortunate. I work primarily indoors.
Right.
And so being indoors and having air conditioning, of course, not being in the direct sun, is a real blessing in my life. I think we have to be especially conscious and worried about people who work outdoors in terms of this heat. But even people who work mostly indoors can feel sometimes weak, their concentration may not be as good. I don't know if you feel irritable at all. I know I do.
Yes, I have.
Sometimes headache, dizziness, nausea, all of these kinds of symptoms can be mild or can be really significant with exposure to heat. And so you mentioned it. Staying hydrated is really critically important.
Well, in front of me right now, Dr. Mazes, I have one liter of water that I will consume during the hour. And it has something on the bottle. Perhaps you could explain it to our listeners. It's got a little heart, and it says, be like boy, PA free. What is that about?
Well, that's a great question. So if you consume your water from a plastic bottle, mm-hmm. The bottle may or may not contain a chemical. It's a plasticizer. It makes the plastic a little more flexible, called BPA or bisphenol A. And we worry about this chemical. BPA is an endocrine disruptor, which means that it can alter the way your hormones function. And Europe just came out with warnings about BPA, and some countries have actually eliminated its use, especially around children and pregnant women, but in some places it's really been very broadly eliminated from anything that would have to do with food or water.
Well, so this is a good thing to have on the bottle. And
it is, but it's a little tricky because
okay.
It's marketing, and so it may say BPA-free, but have a cousin of BPA, which is BPS, like in Sam, or BPF, like in Frank, and those are probably just as bad, but they can put BPA-free. So ideally, don't drink water out of plastic. Get a water filter for your refrigerator or your sink, and fill your own glass bottle or stainless steel bottle and carry that. Now, if you're in the heat and you're thirsty and water in plastic is all you have, drink that water because you need to be sure that you don't get dehydrated in this heat. But ideally, we would not be drinking from plastic.
And there is a concern if you have the plastic bottle in the car and you leave the, you know, go in to run some errands, come back, that bottle is really, really hot, like everything else in the car. And sometimes, from what I understand, that plastic kind of can migrate to the water. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly right. So heat increases the amount of bisphenol A or BPA that's leached into the water and makes it even less healthy. And so better not to leave your water bottles of any kind, probably, because the water's going to get hot, but especially of a BPA bottle in the car. If you buy a bunch of bottled water, you don't want to leave it in the car because it'll do just what you described. It'll cook and it'll leach that BPA into the water.
Listener wants to know about Nalgene, N-A-L-G-I-R.
Yeah, Nalgene. It's a very popular outdoors product, it's sold at stores that people camp. Nalgene, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe Nalgene is now BPA free, but I still am concerned about the plastics that it's made from. And so I would recommend, as I said, a glass. There are now silicone sleeves that the glass bottles are sold, so that makes them much less likely to break, or a good stainless steel bottle, and all of those are widely available in stores or the internet.
790-2040 for your comments, and perhaps you have a question for Dr. Mazes. She'd be happy to entertain that. During this half hour, we're going to be talking about two real essentials, water and sleep. But before we get to sleep, I've got another water question. How much water do you believe we need, or is this entirely a variable that's an individual thing?
Well, it's a really important question that's not so easy to answer because it depends a little bit on how active you are and how much heat you're exposed to. If you're someone who's sitting in a 77-degree air-conditioned room and you're not outside at all, you're not sweating, you're not exerting yourself particularly, you may not need to drink all that much. But if you're outside in this heat, you want to be drinking every 15 minutes to replenish the water you may be losing as sweat, and that would be the recommendations are 6 to 8 ounces every 15 minutes, and that's a lot. And you can't just wait to say, okay, well, when I feel thirsty, I'll drink, because it turns out that you could be significantly dehydrated before you actually have the sensation of thirst.
That's interesting. And pure water is a better hydrator, Dr. Mazes, than some of these the fruit flavored drinks or some of these other products that are out there?
Well, I'm not a big fan of the products for the most part that are out there because they have a lot of sugar or high fructose corn syrup. So things like Gatorade and vitamin water, I mean, those have just multiple spoonfuls of sugar in them. So I have to say, personally, and I don't have any research to support this, this is just a personal preference, I really like Emergency when it's this hot out. I have no relationship to the company or any of these companies, but it's a mixture where it has some of the minerals that we may lose through sweat, and so that's kind of pleasant, and it does have some sugar in it, but about a spoonful or maybe a spoonful and a half as opposed to 20 spoonfuls.
This time of year, that UV index is just off the wall. I'm checking that in the paper this morning. If you get sun exposure midday here in Tucson this time of year, your skin burns in 10 minutes.
Yeah, super fast. And so, thinking about sunscreen, but also thinking about protective clothing. And we're interesting. We tend to think in our society that if you wear less, you'll be cooler. But a lot of countries that have really high temperatures, the Middle East, for example, people often wear long sleeves and long pants, but they wear clothing that breathes.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually can somewhat insulate the body from the heat. So I think that certainly for the UV protection, thinking about some of the clothing that you can wear to protect yourself is important as well.
All right, it's 12:14. We're going to take the break right here, and then we'll come back as we're going to change topics. Want to talk about sleep and some new studies that indicate sleeping in on the weekend could be linked to lower body weight. That's coming up on Buckmaster, but first let me tell you about our favorite place to go for everything green, Green Things. We love this place over at 3384 East River Road. Jan and Jack, the owners, do a great job just west of the intersection Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's the place for finding out about what they have to offer, and it's a lot, and all of their free workshops that they have concerning gardening. Be right back at 12:15. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us for our Friday Focus interview with Democratic gubernatorial candidate State Senator Steve Farley. Joe Ferguson of the Star will be here along with Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're talking with the contributor on health to our program, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She's the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine and a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes, sleep is something, of course, we all need, but unfortunately, most of us don't get enough of it, do we?
Well, that is a problem, and it's become a worse problem over time. So lots of people actually do have a gap in terms of what we believe is ideal and what they actually get.
What's the correlation with sleep and weight? Weight gain or weight loss or whatever?
Absolutely weight gain. if you don't get enough sleep, we have associations with increase weight, and there are some other, you know, challenging health associations when you don't get enough sleep. Things like diabetes and heart disease. It is something that we probably should be asking every single patient we see because of the associations with just all sorts of challenging health conditions.
There's a new study out of South Korea that catching up on lost sleep over the weekend may help people keep their weight down, actually. That's interesting.
It is interesting. Obviously, there are times during the week, if you're really busy, when perhaps it's hard to get those 7 to 9 hours that are recommended. And so this is the first study that I have seen that looked at what they call catch-up sleep, where on the weekend, perhaps you have more time and can sleep in a bit. And this study did indeed show that when people did that, they were able to have a decrease in their BMI, their overall body mass index, or their weight.
Well, the average, I guess, that most people, well, you're supposed to get about 7, and as you mentioned, some people are I guess, lucky enough to get 9, but you don't want to sleep too much, isn't that correct?
Well, that's true, too. Too much sleep is not good. Very few people seem to have that trouble.
That's right.
Sometimes it's associated with depression. The real challenge, of course, is that most people in our society are not getting enough, and enough varies. You know, when you're an infant, enough might be 16 hours a day, and when you're a teenager, it's 9, and in adulthood, 7 to 8 seem to be what most people need. There are a few people who are called short sleepers who seem to do well on less, but most of us don't, and when we get that shorter sleep, we know that there are more car accidents, and as you mentioned earlier, an increased risk of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, depression. And so finding a way to really make room for sleep in the schedule is a good thing.
790-2040 if you have a question or comment for Dr. Mazes. So can one make up a sleep deficit? Say you really have had a tough week. Can you make up for it on the weekend, or is it something that really needs to be accumulative? Every night, get what you need.
Well, this particular study suggests that maybe you can. I think we certainly need more studies. It was nice. It was almost 2,200 people from the ages of 19 to 82, and they did face-to-face interviews and looked at a lot of different factors. But I think we certainly need more research. The other possibility, of course, would be to take a nap. And some societies obviously build this in with the concept of siesta, and napping is common. And in other places, it's relatively rare. There was a study a number of years ago now, 2008, that looked at napping in Greece, because, of course, siesta is common there. And they found that people who occasionally napped had a 12% reduction in their risk of heart disease. But if they regularly napped, which was by their definition for that was at least 3 days a week that they took a nap, they had a 37% reduction in heart disease. And other studies have borne that out as well.
And again, the nap shouldn't be really over, I guess, 90 minutes, something like that.
Well, again, I think we don't know the ideal, and there are some studies that worry that napping may increase the risk of obesity or diabetes. So I think there's still some controversy about napping and the ideal duration, and even whether it's ideal to do it.
Sleep aids are a huge problem in this country. Sleep aids being prescriptions that people take for sleep. Isn't that a big issue?
Yes, it is. Often they're in the class of medicines called benzodiazepines, and they're really only meant to be used as a short-term measure because they have side effects, and side effects include that you don't actually have normal sleep architecture, which means getting into that deep sleep and the rapid eye movement sleep. There's some suggestion they can increase the risk of Alzheimer's, which none of us want, and over the long term, they don't even seem to work that well. And so finding ways to sleep well, you know, absent some specific crisis, or maybe if you're coming back from a country where there's a multiple hour time zone difference, but absent just the occasional use, they're really not the way to go. You want to consider other things. There are some safer choices. For example, some people find melatonin very helpful, especially for the jet lag sleep challenge, and some people find herbal product called valerian very helpful. So those are things that could be considered. I think as well, thinking about how do we get ourselves to sleep? We use these active verbs, like you're going to go to sleep, but we can't actually go to sleep because we don't have that kind of control.
No, we don't. Did,
there wouldn't be insomnia.
Yeah.
So there's this lovely philosophy which says you have to let go into sleep, and so you actually have to move yourself into a state that's conducive to falling asleep.
Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Lauren would like to pick up on where we're talking about sleep. Go ahead, Lauren.
I'm sorry, I'm deviating. My question's about supplements. I hope I'm not interfering with the flow, but when we get to the topic of marketing of supplements, it seems like the marketing completely outweighs the supplements, and we're literally bombarded with offers for buying this and that, and you got to have nitrites and nitrates, and you need to drink your beet juice, and you need your CoQ10, and you need your glucosamine chondroitin, and you can't live without this stuff. And the clincher to me is not available in stores. Order now, a 30-day trial supply, absolutely money-back guarantee, and the not available in any stores really throws me. Why can't we get these things in stores?
Well, there are many stores that sell supplements, including all over Tucson. So I think that that's a strange advertisement. But I would also say to Lauren that the United States and New Zealand are the only two nations in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising of pharmaceuticals. So when you watch television, you're all often bombarded with ask your doctor about, and then it names the drug and tells you how wonderful it'll be for a condition you may have, and also required by law the side effects that may be associated with that medication. And there is very good research, and this is why pharmaceutical companies spend so much money on these, that these kinds of advertisements do actually increase sales, and patients indeed do come to their doctors and ask. So I think the marketing of all of these things is challenging, and you know, it has to do with our health. Maybe we need stronger regulation about these things.
Well, actually, Lauren brings up a good topic. We are bombarded, and that you do have, when you do go to a store that sells supplements, you have so many choices. And Dr. Mazes, it can be overwhelming.
True. Yes, I totally agree with you. I suggest that people do some homework before they go to the store so that they're not just looking at lines and lines of products and not really having much to go on in terms of what to choose. There is a company that I suggest often. It's called ConsumerLab.com. It's not free, although some of their content is free. But they pull supplements from the shelves and they test them to see that the supplement actually contains what it claims on the label. They also recommend which is the best price supplement. And so if you do a little homework before you go to the store, you're likely to save money, you're likely to buy a better product, and hopefully you're likely to feel less overwhelmed by the choices.
That's very true. Let's see if we can work one more call in. We have Carl on the line. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes. One of my issues is that you and so many other people are saying you shouldn't use things like the sleep aids long term. You shouldn't be using these things at all, or only very, very specific period of time. There are a lot of cases with sleep aids and with opioids where there's a legitimate reason to have them prescribed and to be using them over a long period of time. And PTSD is one of the major things, or with the physical ailments that military personnel pick up throughout the course of their career. And I'm just a little bit bothered by the fact that you're saying that this is a bad thing when there's actually appropriate times when these things could be used for a long period of time.
Okay.
Well, Carl, I think you have a very good point. I am giving general recommendations, and I think there are certainly times when the longer-term use of medication may be indicated, and you described some situations where that indeed could be the case. I think whenever we're prescribing a medicine, we're thinking about the risks and benefits. And the reality is that the benzodiazepine class of medication has some significant risks, but that does not mean that the benefits don't ever outweigh the risks.
Very good point. Thank you, Carl, actually, for bringing that up. And Dr. Mays, is always a pleasure. We'll look forward to talking to you in July. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks a
lot.
Stay
cool.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mays is with us on the Buckmaster Show. You can learn more about Dr. Mays by going to her website, and that's Victoria Mays, MAIZESMD.com. You can also follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. She heads up the Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Speaking of the University of Arizona, the new president of the UA is next with us right after the break.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. A Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Joining us, Dr. Robert Robbins, who assumed his position as 22nd president of the University of Arizona on June 1st. Previously, he served as president and CEO of the Texas Medical Center in Houston from 2012 to 2017. Prior to his time in Houston, Dr. Robbins, an internationally recognized cardiac surgeon, served as professor and chairman of the Department of Cardiothoracic Surgery at Stanford University School of Medicine in Palo Alto. He is the founding director of the Stanford Cardiovascular Institute and president of the International Society of Heart and Lung Transplantation, among other roles. Dr. Robbins is passionate about many things, including research, commercialization, and has been associated with more than 40 startups while at Stanford, including a couple of startups he created. Dr. Robbins, good to see you and good to meet you. And how do you like Tucson so far?
Well, Bill, what a pleasure to meet you. It's an honor, and I love Tucson, and I love the weather.
Even the heat, huh?
Even the heat. I love the heat. I'm from a little town in Mississippi, so as people have reminded me, this is dry heat, and I really love it.
You were just sharing with me before we went on the air that the first time you had visited Tucson was back in the 1980s when, of course, the really iconic figure in your industry, in the cardiac transplantation business, Dr. Jack Copeland, was really at the top of his game and put the University of Arizona on the map.
He did, and as I was telling you, I remember exactly the day that I visited Tucson to visit Dr. Copeland. I was actually interviewing for a cardiac surgery residency position, and it was the day after he had implanted the Jarvik 7 heart into Michael Drummond. And I understand there's a facility with Michael Drummond's name on it. And I saw him the day after that operation. He was sitting up in bed and drinking a 7-Up.
Would you like to see the University of Arizona, of course, with Banner, UMC, come back and be a real leader in heart transplantation?
Oh, absolutely. I think the
Can it be done?
It can be done. I think the partnership with Banner opens up a lot of possibilities for the university through the medical schools in great partnership with Banner. And also, you know, just based on the incredible legacy and history of Dr. Copeland, we certainly can do that. Just as a side note, parenthetically, the reason I knew about Dr. Copeland is because he also had trained at Stanford and had spent time at the National Institutes of Health during his training, both of which I had done.
We're going to go to our live line because we actually have a question for Dr. Robbins about cardiac care. I believe Russ is with us on the line. Russ, you're with the new president of the U of A, Dr. Robert Robbins. Go ahead.
Thank you. Dr. Robbins, welcome. I teach in the communication department, and that's not the reason I'm calling. I want to welcome you. And I just had quadruple bypass surgery, open heart surgery, and Dr. Lick was my surgeon. And I was very, very impressed with the quality of the surgery, the quality of the care, and Dr. Lick and Dr. Kern. And it's really wonderful there. And so I wanted to talk to you on the air to let you know they're wonderful people over there, and I know that's your area. So I just wanted to make a comment as a person who's been connected with U of A over 50 years, and I have 4 degrees and still teaching, and I'm very happy with my operation, and I want to just thank you for coming to Tucson.
Thank you, Russ.
Russ, it's a pleasure to meet you over the airways. I look forward to meeting you in person, and I'm pleased to hear you got good care and the operation went well. And thank you for everything you've done for the university. And you, like many others that I've met in now the 29th day on the job, are just tremendous individuals who are passionate about, dedicated to the university. And I couldn't be more honored and proud to be here. So thank you for calling in, and I'll come back to campus and track you down, and hopefully after you convalesce from your operation, and we can chat further. But thank you for calling in today.
All right, let's go back to the live line. Jim is called. I think this is our friend Jim Kelly, and he wants to follow up on what I was saying about you, Dr. Robbins, with your 40 startups while at Stanford. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, it's exactly what I want to follow up with, Dr. Robbins, and it's very good to talk to you. You and I met at the Tucson Country Club with Governor Romney recently. My question is this, is there's a project at 36th and Keno called the UA Science Tech Park that was started over 10 years ago, and I haven't seen any movement on that. Do we have a partner yet to go in and develop that space as a research facility or tech incubation startup facility?
Yeah, well, your call is very timely, Jim. It's good to hear from you, and I enjoyed chatting with you and talking to you about those 4 Super Bowl appearances. But other than that, I'll get to your question. we had a meeting today, actually, to talk about the future of the bridges, and I was encouraged by what I heard. I obviously need to be here longer and have more discussions. I don't think we're ready yet to announce that we've got a partner, but I think for that development to be successful, the university, I think everyone that I've spoken to, the university is the key to this. And so we'll be having more discussions over the summer, and hopefully we'll have some news to announce about the direction we'd want to go with the bridges. You know, it's a confluence of different issues that have resulted in nothing really happening on that beautiful piece of property. I think it's well situated, well located, and I think the future will be bright for the bridges. And I think that most of the developers are waiting to see what the university will do. So I'm enthusiastic, obviously, about developing the fundamental discoveries and translating those discoveries from the university into commercializable products. Happy to be involved and know about the first company that actually rolled out of TechLaunch Arizona, Sinfonia, which is a company that focuses on medication reconciliation and is based right here in Tucson and came out of the School of Pharmacy. So I think we're really lucky that was the first one out of the chute and has been successful, and we're looking forward to many others coming our way.
That's Fletcher McCusker's operation, been very successful. So we were talking about the Bridges Park, but we do have right now a very successful UA Science and Technology Park that Bruce Wright heads up out there. What do you think of that product?
Yeah, well, I was in a meeting with Bruce this morning, and you know, I've been going full speed and had heard a lot about Bruce and the incredible work that he's been doing for the university and the community, focusing on the other part of our tech park operations and research park. And I was really impressed with him. And so I think that these are things that we can learn from going forward in the future. I think that being able to be a part of the regional economic development is something that I take very seriously. And if you look at major research intensive universities like the University of Arizona, and I would just point out that we're in the top 35 of all universities in the country in terms of research expenditures. And there's a clear correlation of the economic development that the city, county, and region, and for that part, the state, benefit by having universities like the University of Arizona embedded in the community.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll have more with Dr. Robbins after we take a break on the Buckmaster Show. But first, I want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, and that is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson over there, and it's a great way to get away because the elevation over in Silver City is about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, so the rains have come to the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org, their fine website with the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. We're back with the new president of the University of Arizona. He is the 22nd president, and I was just sharing with Dr. Robert Robbins that he becomes the 8th president of the U of A that I have interviewed since returning to Tucson in 1988.
That's really incredible. And I've met all of them except for President Schaefer, and I look forward to meeting him soon.
Yeah, he's still very active. Let's talk a little bit about the funding situation for the U of A. Reflecting back, Dr. Robbins, on going back to when I came here in 1988, I believe it was the amount of state funding was two or three times what it is now. And I think the UA is going the direction of many state land-grant universities, less and less funding from the state, and you could almost envision a day where you're going to make it on your own.
Right. And we were speaking earlier in your show about partnerships and economic development and bringing industry into the city and the region. Raytheon obviously is a bellwether, Caterpillar recently. So I think we've got to look for more diversified streams of funding, because you're right. I just came back from my first land-grant public university president's meeting in Washington, D.C., and everybody's seeing a decrease in funding from the state.
Some of actually, like Michigan, I believe, pretty much are on their own right now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're close.
Yeah.
Almost all, you know, as you said, when you returned to Tucson, it was probably in the 20 to 30% range.
And I would say it was about 25%.
Yeah.
So what are we right now?
I think it's about 12 to 15%.
And been going down.
Going down.
Yeah. Let's go back to the live line. Another caller with us. I believe Ingrid is on the live line. Hey, Ingrid, you're with the new UA president. Go ahead.
Yes. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you, can you tell us what the categories are of the state of Arizona's job description for a university president?
Okay. Do you know the
categories for the job description?
What was the job description for the U of A president?
Well, I think...
And maybe kind of segueing in why you wanted the job.
Yeah. I think leadership, previous experience in an academic institution. Although I don't know it was specifically mandated, having a terminal degree and those kind of things. And I think the reason I chose the University of Arizona is because it's got all the components that I'm interested in being a public servant. And that's a research-intensive major university, which, as I said before, we're one of the top 35 in the country in that area, and we just recently made the list of the top 100 influential universities in the world. So that was important to me. Having great students, and we have incredible students, and as I travel around and talk to people on the campus, from incredibly dedicated staff, world-class scientists, those things attract great students, and we're in the process of working on a new Honors Village. We hope to name a new dean of the Honors College soon. So I think that it's getting back to, and I'll just say, back to the Pac-12 conference. I'm a big fan of athletics, and it's so important, I think, to the university and the brand of the university. So all of those things collectively and great weather were the reasons why I chose University of Arizona. But getting back to the job description, I think it's someone, the regents and the community were looking for someone who had a multitude of experiences in their past, because there are multiple stakeholders, from students, which is always first and foremost in my mind, the faculty, the regents, the city, county, state, and national elected officials, the alumni, local community, business leaders, being able to have experience and have be facile in developing relationships with all of those stakeholders, I think would be the job description I would write for this position.
I want to talk a little bit about free speech on campus. The president at, I think it was Middlebury, wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal, and I was thinking about our upcoming interview, and I wanted to ask you about what seems to be some free speech seems to be, even up at Berkeley, being shut down. How are you going to tackle that if that comes up, that issue of controversial speakers on campus?
Yeah, again, we spent about 2 hours recently at the president's meeting for the public universities and land-grant universities in Washington, D.C., talking about this, and the Chancellor of Berkeley was there and many other of the university presidents. I think I come at it from a fundamental centrist view that free speech should be a right that we will support. It should be a right that should be supported for all individuals, regardless of their political view. So, it's a controversial area. Free speech doesn't mean that you accept it because it supports whatever your view is. It's given as a right for individuals, regardless of their political views and convictions. I would say, though, the difficulty becomes when you kind of blur the line of when free speech turns into hate speech and even aggressive behavior. So I think it is in the context of place, time, and manner. But I would say we will be very supportive of free speech for all.
But this did come up at that meeting. That,
absolutely.
It was one of the front burner issues.
Yeah. One of the things the Chancellor at Berkeley said that people who were there disrupting things said that, and he knew they were from the outside because they said, we looked for the president's home, but we couldn't find it. Well, it was pretty prominent right there on the campus.
How about athletics? You said you're a big supporter of athletics, and pretty much at the U of A, athletics have paid their way in many respects, haven't they?
Absolutely. Just an incredible rich tradition of athletics at University of Arizona, and I would say, hopefully you'll, if you haven't already had the new athletic director, Dave Hickey.
No, I want to get him on
the
show.
Yeah, tremendous, tremendous individual. Mm-hmm. I think that I wasn't involved in his search. I think President Hart did a really good job, and the committee did a really good job of picking an outstanding individual. And I have full confidence that he will guide us to even greater levels of success.
Did you grow up as a sports fan?
I did. As I said, I grew up in a little town in South Mississippi, and near Hattiesburg. So it's University of Southern Mississippi, okay, is in Hattiesburg. For our era of listeners, it's where Ray Guy played football.
Oh yeah.
And for more recent people, it's where Brett Favre played football.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So
yeah.
I was always a big sports fan and participant when I was growing up.
Was education an important issue in your household in growing up?
Yeah, so I was raised by my maternal grandparents. My grandfather was a math professor at a community college for 47 years. And even though my graduating class from high school only had about 10 people who went to college, there was no question what I was going to do. And going back as far as I remember, certainly my great-grandparents had been educated at a small liberal arts college, a Baptist college called Mississippi College. And so everyone from my great-grandfather to my parents had attended that school.
And directing you in the direction of medicine and education, was there an influence in your life?
No one in my immediate family had been in the medical field, but one of my best friends growing up's father was the town doctor, so I got to hang around with him and saw what he did. And I think being a university president and a physician are two of the highest callings that you can have in terms of public servant.
So we've only got a minute left. What are kind of the initial goal? I'm sure you're very goal-oriented person. What do you want to kind of accomplish before students get back on campus in actually a month or so?
Yeah, well, I've been vigorously exploring the meeting of new friends and understanding the community, not just on the campus, which I've spent a lot of time speaking to staff, students, faculty members, leaders, but also into the community. And that's a big priority of mine.
It should be huge.
It is huge. Yeah, and you'll see me out in town working with all of our leaders, whether they be elected officials or business leaders, community leaders. So I'm going to be high energy and very engaged.
All right. We'd love to have you back on the program.
We'd love to. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much. After we get school started up, we'll have you back on in the new school year. All right. Coming up this afternoon, we do more local talk here on KVOI. We've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw. My friend Ray Allen will be engineering and producing that show as well. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. And then my guest tomorrow at 12:04 will be State Senator Steve Farley, Democratic candidate for governor. That will be on the Buckmaster Show. And we'll have, of course, our reporters roundtable, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. And he will be joined by Joe Ferguson, who will be joining us from the Arizona Daily Star. So, as usual, a very full week here on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.